Hello, and my name is Anna, and I want to share my story of grace with you tonight. When I was asked to share on week 10, single sexuality, my first thought was, really, God? Then I reminded myself of Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The last time I shared, the topic was new relationships. I found it difficult, and now tonight, I continue to be amazed at God's sense of humor with the way he continues to challenge me to follow his ways and not my own. I'm beginning to understand it is not the things I have victory over that are most important, but the things I am pursuing victory in. I am so thankful that God does not leave me alone in the areas I want to hold on to. Instead, he gently nudges me forward, which sometimes feels a bit like a shove, to become more like Christ. So tonight I'm standing here to tell you about God's faithfulness, his relentless love for me, and his unbelievable patience with me as I stumble through life, how he has continued to mold me into the woman I was meant to be, and shoving me, if needed, back on track each time I get off. When I gave my testimony on new relationships, it caused me to look at my current friendships, enabled me to see how God desires me to be. Tonight, although not the beginning of my journey, it is the beginning of being authentic about my struggle. I grew up in church, and I'm so thankful to God that he gave me my mother. Her unwavering faithfulness to follow Christ and trust him has never left me. The church she grew up in, and then I grew up in, was one based on works and fear, but God through the years has taught us both about his grace and love. My father, although a believer, was not one to attend my mother's church, and she would not go to his, so he never went. He was silent and constant presence in my life, but not a spiritual leader in our home. I love my parents and thankful for all they taught me, but my image of God was not built on the loving God I know today. I am thankful for my less than perfect, dysfunctional upbringing. It is because of this I turn to God. These things formed me who I am today, and these very things have caused me to turn to God over and over again. When all is well, I quickly feel self-sufficient and rely on my own knowledge. The foundation that I started with played a major role in my rebellious teen years, but I cannot blame it on my upbringing. After all, I was born a sinner. Psalms 51:5, surely I am sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. At the age of 10, I became a Christian. I realized I was lost. I needed Christ to save me. I knew he forgave me, and I was saved. I knew his love and forgiveness immediately and wanted to tell everyone, but I lacked the teaching and training one needs to grow in Christ, and I struggled as I entered my teens. I was easily pulled into sin, and after trying so hard to live a works-driven life of salvation, I felt there was no point in trying. It was the 70s, and sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and a few years of disco were everywhere. I was pulled into some very bad crowds, and if I was not partying with friends, I was miserable. I found myself in some very bad situations, and today I know I survived only because God's hand was on me, and my mother prayed for me constantly. It is hard for a kid to keep living like that when you come home to a mother kneeling in the living room, crying and praying aloud for you. Although I turned once again to my Savior, the scars remained with me for years afterward. When I met my husband at the age of 17, I was following Christ, but not ready for a relationship. Not just because I was so young, but so young in my walk with Christ. And there was so much healing that still needed to be done. My immaturity was apparent in our relationship, and for me to feel accepted and loved by him, I felt I needed a physical relationship with him. Waiting did not seem like an option to me, and unfortunately, I convinced him as well. I don't know why, and I don't know how. I always seemed to be able to justify the sin in my life. I always told myself I was not hurting anyone. I was not committing adultery, and to consenting adults, what is the big deal? We married only Shortly after my 18th birthday, we were both Christians, active in our church, and involved in every way we could find, but no one ever knew of our sin. My marriage of 14 years was, for the most part, a good one. We had two beautiful children, his career was growing, and we continued to serve in the church. The demise of our marriage was received with surprise by all. I don't know that I was as surprised as everyone else. I was surprised more by my husband, that my husband was not who he said he was, but really neither was I. Don't get me wrong, I loved God and I was growing in him, and I would not have survived the breakup of my marriage had I not discovered God's loving grace for me, and that my works were not what saved me, but it was Christ's finished work on the cross alone that saved me. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I couldn't even take credit for realizing this because it is by the Holy Spirit that I was even able to see and believe. Psalms 46, 8 says, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who bow down. The Lord loves the righteous. I'm thankful that I discovered divorce care after the divorce and was able to process so much of the things I was feeling. Unfortunately, my plan was to process quickly, everything as quickly as possible, and get on with my life. I did heal from my divorce, but it was not just my divorce I needed healing from. I was still a walking, wounded child. And once the healing from my divorce began, I thought I had somehow gotten myself to where I was and gave God no credit. I forgot that it was God who carried me through all of it, loved me, provided for me and my children, and placed me in a church with loving people. By now, I knew that sex outside of marriage was not God's best for my life. With that, I knew that sin was not called sin because it was something that God just put there so that he could control me. The things that God calls sin are actually an offense against him and detrimental to me and often to those around me, but sometimes we still choose it. After being divorced a year and a half and doing everything right, I jumped into a relationship. It did not take me long to fall back into the same sin and justifying it by saying that I'm not hurting anyone else, so why should it be so bad? I was using God's infinite grace as a license to continue sinning. Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? And again in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. And in verse 18, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Thankfully, God still loves me, even though I knew what his word said. I became that Sunday Christian, the one that goes to church, and during the week, I looked no different than everyone else. I know now that God has forgiven me, but I still struggle sometimes knowing the missed opportunity I had to share God's love and saving grace with people that came in my life during those years. That relationship was on and off for 7 years and also went on for several months after he married. The only thing that brought it to an end was me meeting someone else and 2 years later getting married in 2005. When that marriage ended in 2009, I confess, I got back in touch with him and the relationship began again and went on for over a year. I justified something that seemed not to hurt anyone and in the end became something much worse than I thought I was capable of doing. Sin is like that. It takes a life of its own. It steals, kills, and destroys. At the time of my second divorce, I had not been in church in almost 5 years. I have a tendency to hide myself away. One of my favorite authors wrote a book, and in it writes about hide-and-seek, grown-up style, wanting to hide, needing to be sought, confused about being found. This is me. I'm always playing hide-and-seek, grown-up style. Not going to church was my way of hiding from other believers because the masquerade had become so exhausting. In 2010, my daughter and her family were in Dallas visiting for a month and wanted to attend church during their stay. And the church that they found was Watermark, and we went together the month of October. I cried throughout every service as I was convicted of my sin and God freshly showed me his love. I kept going once they left and shortly after went to Connecting Point. It was during Connecting Point that I made the decision to end the sinful relationship, repent, and to turn and recommit my life to Christ. I started serving in divorce care the following February, and while helping out, I was able to fully accept God's forgiveness for the mistakes I made after my divorce. Unfortunately, when I started dating the following May, it was apparent that my ability to stay pure was not yet there yet, and that I was going to continue to repeat my old patterns, so I quickly ended the relationship. That fall, when divorce care started up again, I started that session committing to no dating with everyone else. Now, 2 years later, in November of 2013, I'm still not dating. Choosing to not date started out because I did not trust my own ability to live a pure life and to follow Christ and all the Bible teaches. I could no longer ignore or twist things to suit me and my own desires. After the first year of no dating, I realized that my desire for sex had actually not changed. When I look back on that first year, it's obvious that I had been happier, more at peace, and had grown more spiritually than I had in years. I also realized that God is enough, that nothing in this world matters above knowing him and growing in him. I also realized that sometimes you need to have something in your life that helps you remain committed to doing what is right. Divorce care was that for me. Accountability is a powerful thing that I needed, but I needed to not just silently stay committed to what was being asked of me as a leader and follower of Christ. I needed to share my struggle with the ladies in my community church who were committed to me and my walk in Christ. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." I've often wondered about this scripture. Why do I need to confess my sins? Why do we need to confess our sins to each other? Isn't confessing to God enough? In this past summer, I realized that my silence was allowing sin to maintain its hold on me. Because if no one knew of my struggle, no one would know if I failed. I realized that God wants us to confess our sins because doing this also helps remove the power the sin has over us. It's the biblical principle of bringing what is dark into the light. It is out there in the open now, and my friends are going to be asking me, how am I doing with my walk in purity? I never could hide from God, and now I'm learning to trust and not hide from his people. So can we have a sexually pure life? Yes, but not apart from God and not apart from other people following hard after Christ. God desires that we know him, and he will never let go of us either. Romans 8:38 and 39. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." My journey to live a pure single life started with a desire to please God because of what he has done for me, but I expected to do it alone. God, in his wonderful love and mercy, pushed me to confess my failures to others so that I did not have to do it alone. It started in a Bible study this summer and continues today through the love and care of my community group. He does not want me to do this alone, and he continues to keep me on a path of authenticity. I joke sometimes that I am here to show people what not to do, but maybe I'm here to show others what lengths God will go so that we might know life in him. Get to know and trust him in all areas of your life and let him write the rest of your story. Thank you.